Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
What's up, y'all? This is Mosh Noon, your second favorite co-host on this beautiful podcast, and I'm here to just give a very quick disclaimer in that Mo is a silly goose and just forgot to turn on her microphone for this episode. So her audio is just a little bit janky. Go DM her and tell her that she's silly. But regardless, we hope that you still listen. Okay, she really went in on this episode. She was on fire and she spilled her heart out. And we hope that you guys still enjoy. My audio sounds superb. So I got y'all. Feel me? Cool. Anyways, please enjoy this episode on building boundaries. So yesterday I did my first spoken word poetry slam competition in about as good a good 3 to 4 years. It's been a long time. For the ones that, for the people that don't know, you know, I used to do it a lot. I used to be that guy.
Damn.
You know, I was really that guy in this city.
I was really that guy.
Like if you're from Atlanta, you know I'm that guy when it comes to poetry. That's not true. I used to be really bad at it, but I really enjoyed doing it. So I signed up for the slam and I wrote some really good poems over the last 3 days. And I was really excited for this competition. I perform, I do really good, I lose. And, you know, it's okay. You know why? Because, you know, one thing that I've come to understand is, like, the duty of an artist is not to have somebody understand, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many paintings do you see in the museum that you just look at it and you're just like, how the hell did that get here? You know, like, it's not the artist's job to get you to understand their artwork. Their job is to get you to feel, right? And I was trying to do my best to get people to feel yesterday, but people weren't feeling me, and it's okay.
How'd you get that epiphany? I feel like it took you a while.
I don't know. I think I've just gotten to a place where I'm just really secure and satisfied and confident in my ability to where it's now it's like, if people don't get it, you're lost, buddy-o, you know?
You're lost, buddy-o. Our art is not to please any crowd besides ourselves and the South Asian community.
Yeah, it's like our listeners, like, I don't know why y'all listen to us. We're just two Rambo Dumbos who just mumble on, but y'all like us.
Rambo Dumbos.
So you don't have to explain to us why you like us, but we are glad that you do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But anyway, if you want to catch Mishnu Munir at the next Orlando Spoken Word Festival, please catch him and shout his name and give him claps.
Don't do any of that. But on a good note, I'm happy I did it. I haven't done it in a while, and I'm feeling good, right? So, start off on a positive note. If there's something that you've been wanting to do,
do it. He did this amidst finals. He did this amidst all his full-time work. He did this during a crazy time. No excuses. He did what he had to do.
We don't make those. Anyways, welcome back to our beautiful, lovely, amazing podcast. It's the best podcast in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And also the best podcast ever. My name is Mosh Noon.
I'm Mahua. And today we are talking about... Oh.
No, go ahead.
No, I thought this was my time to shine.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So today we are talking about the lack of boundaries in South Asian, Desi, people of color, communities, and how a lot of parents just don't have any chill when it comes to their kids. And we just really wanted to dive deep into some of the experiences we've had growing up where our parents have completely invaded our privacies, and also kind of talk about why we think they have this idea in them where they think it's okay to just do whatever they want and invade all of our privacies without giving a shit, basically. And also talk about how we grew up in their eyes, how we matured, and how we really don't have to deal with that problem to the same extent anymore. So we got a lot to say in this episode. We have a lot of experiences with this, and I got more experiences than Mashun, not gonna lie. But I hope y'all are excited for this ride, because I also posted a reel about this on my Instagram, Labyrinthev, if you wanna check it out. And it's crazy how big this is in a lot of communities, not just South Asian, where people have a lot of trauma regarding this. And it makes me sad, because a lot of situations are actually a lot more extreme than mine. And I wish I could give a voice to everyone. But I hope that this brings some more clarity. I hope this brings more your thoughts into words. But yeah, I hope it's helpful.
Yeah, I know that this is, like you said, I don't necessarily have too much to really say about things that I've been through. And I know that that's just like a blessing. And I'm grateful that my parents were the way that they were, you know, whatever the circumstance was. But I know that there's something really important to you. I know there's something that, you know, you've dealt with a lot growing up. So why did you want to talk about this so bad? Like, why is this such a big thing for you?
I think this is such a heavy topic, because regardless of, like, if you are close to your parents now, if you do have healthy relationships now with your friends, if you are in such a better place now because you've healed, it is very, very hard to unlearn all of this trauma that you've dealt with in the past and really just turn over a new leaf without really processing it. I feel like this trauma of people invading your privacy, especially your parents who are supposed to take care of you and just not expose you like that and invade your privacy like that, it's really hard to trust people outside of the relationships of your family. It's really hard to let your guard down. It's really hard to not be paranoid. It's really hard to not be anxious. And I think the root of this problem is because of how much we went through when we were kids and young adults and adults. And I just think it really just follows you along into all of your relationships, into like your mental status. Yeah, but I also think, I don't know why this is the case, but I think it happens to more females than males. Because
no, that's true.
From the things that I was reading in my comments, a lot of them were from girls. I also saw something interesting in the comments where a male was talking about how he wants to, he has moved out, but he, whenever he goes home, his mom always kind of guilt trips him into staying longer. And he ended up staying at his parents' house for 4 months because he kept pushing it back. And he's still paying rent at his apartment, but he just doesn't want to, you know, let down his mom. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's just this guilt, and there's, I don't think that's necessarily like an invasion of privacy. But I think a lot of parents just assume that you aren't deserving of privacy and you aren't deserving of your own space. And it's just like the lack of boundaries, you know?
I think it's a lot of things. I think it's, one is, you know, they have difficulty seeing like the maturity in you, whether it's because they're just focused on the wrong things. You know, they're focused on your education and not trying to realize how much you're actually growing up as a person. And it's also like, you know, it's fear, right? Like a lot of our parents are just scared of their kids lying to them, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there was this one response that we got that was something along the lines of like, oh, whenever my mom thinks that, whenever I hold a secret or like keep a secret from my mom, she just sees it as me lying, or like me just like, you know, whenever this girl wanted privacy, like, the mom just saw it in, like, the wrong way. She saw it as daughter lying, the daughter hiding things.
That was so common for me, too.
When it's, like, you know, privacy is just something that's not understood. And maybe it's because the way that they grew up, there wasn't much of that. And, you know, everything is very family oriented and everything is very like, oh, if you're doing something, then we're all doing it, you know. And there are so many things that go into it, you know, traditional values, like clashing with modern values. And it's tough. But like you said, you know, we've done some things that have helped aid the situation.
Yeah. Wait, I do want to talk about all of my experiences, but I also want to add on to that. Because I feel like not only is it a fear that your kids are growing up and potentially maybe leaving you behind and not really caring about all the sacrifices that you made, but it's also the fact that, like, it's just all intergenerational trauma, right? Like, I saw this post, I actually sent it to Mashun a few days ago, and it's like, our grandparents dealt with war, they dealt with so much trauma, whereas our parents dealt with coming to a new country, assimilating into our culture, and that got pushed down onto us, and we dealt with people pleasing, we've dealt with invasion of privacy, lack of boundaries, and it just gets pushed onto one generation to another. And I feel like because our parents have unintentionally, obviously they aren't doing this purposely, pushed their trauma of you know, fitting into a new culture and leaving their families behind, we have pushed back because we don't want to tell them our secrets and our lives because they are more traditional. And like, if we do tell them, like if I did ever open up to my mom back in the day, like when I was in high school, she would maybe use that against me and maybe shun me or shame me for acting like that or being like that, even though I'm telling her a secret or telling her something in my life because, you know, I just want to share with my mom, or like it's something that I'm enjoying or something, you know. They either use it against you, or they gossip because, you know, we're notorious for our gossiping. So it just, like, it's like a pushback, right? Like, you constantly want to, like, you want to share with them, but if you do share with them, they use it against you. And then I feel like a lot of them try to read diaries or read your letters or just be involved in your life in a really, really toxic way because they just want to get that connection with you because you're not giving it to them. But it's like a whole cycle, you know, because you're not giving it to them because they're not sharing anything about their life. But if they are, you know, listening to you, it's kind of like they're using it against you, you know. So there's just like a whole, like, cycle that is very hard to break.
Nah, you said that really well. I think that happened to me a lot growing up. You know, I remember I used to hide a lot of stuff from my mom. Not even just bad stuff, you know, it could just be anything. Like, I wouldn't tell her the whole truth. I wouldn't lie, I just wouldn't tell her everything.
Right.
And it would always, like, come back around, like, oh, why didn't you tell me this? And I'm just like, because I know the way that you react, and when I don't like when you react like that, because it just makes me not want to talk to you. And then she's like, oh, I react like that because you don't tell me anything. And it's just literally the both of you are just barking at each other. And it's crazy. It's like, you know, I think about it sometimes of, like, my mom used to get upset with me and still kind of gets upset with me whenever anything happens. And the reaction is always just, like, aggressive, and it doesn't, It obviously it's gotten better, but sometimes
it makes
she
you,
like,
not
relapses.
Want to tell them.
And it's like, you know, I'm like, yo, mom, chill. Like, like we're good. Like, I'm not a kid anymore. Like, you know, we can talk about this. And it's hard. It's like, you know, if I'm, like, addicted to junk food, like, you can't just tell me to, like, start eating broccoli, right? Like, I know that that's what I should be doing, but, like, I like my Cheetos and my Doritos.
This man has so many boxes
guacamole
on top of his refrigerator. This man hoards boxes. No, this man hoards boxes for some reason. Just empty boxes on top of his fridge. And I keep telling him to throw it out. He doesn't. So at this point, invade his privacy and just throw it out for him.
You want to know something? Like, I didn't even tell you this. My friend Soham came to my crib a couple days ago, right? And he asked for some water. So, you know, as a nice guest, I got him some water. I got some ice from my freezer, and I had to lift up the boxes, you know, to get some ice.
He's like,
yo, why do you have so many boxes? And I was like, honestly, just to piss Mo off.
You're
I don't
sick
need
in the
out.
Head. You're sick
I have,
in the head.
He's like, I thought you were holding these for when you were moving out. I was like, no, I'm petty.
But there's like no reason to piss me off about the boxes, you know?
It's
all right. Anyway, I think something else on top of that is the lack of control that your parents had when they first moved to this country, because they had no sense of self, because, you know, they left their self back in Bangladesh or back in their home country, and they essentially had to strip themselves of everything to fit into this country. And then once they started, you know, invading their kids' privacy, they are also leaving the kids with no sense of control and no sense of autonomy over their identities, and just making them feel very small, you know? So it just shows how, like, one generation not healing is just inflicting that same pain onto another generation. And it's like, if you don't stop it and if you don't understand and heal with what's going on, you're going to do the same thing to the next generation. So this is a PSA, get therapy. I have not gotten therapy yet, but I'm in the route.
Yo, I gotta be honest. You're killing it so far.
I'm spitting fire, right? This
you're
is just coming
good, you know.
It's coming straight off the dome.
No, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, you know? No, I'm doing all the legwork today. No, Mashoon did all the legwork last episode. I'm picking up the pace for this one.
Yeah, thank God.
You know, also a lot of people are like, "Yo, you should become a psychologist or a therapist." The way you're spitting heat in this Instagram videos, yeah. But anyway. I wanna trauma dump on you guys.
yeah. I think it'll help build a little bit of connection if you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the stuff that you've been through, especially like as like a young girl, you know, like there was stuff going on to you when you were like 16, 17, 18, you know, and I know a lot of girls can probably relate to that. So, so what's some stuff that, you know, got you to want to talk about?
Yeah. I want to tell you guys up front. My mother and I did not have a good relationship at all when I was in high school. And it's crazy because back in the day when I was 15, I never thought that I would be in a better place with her. I never thought that she would grow. I never thought that I'd see the day where we were actually close. And it's crazy how much that has changed and how.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Much time has changed things. And it's the best feeling, but I really just had to go through the dirt to really get to where I am now, you know? So let's start from square one, right? We got to start with the T, right? I had a diary, right? This diary was my heart and soul. As a 15-year-old, I was writing all of my crushes, all of my boyfriends back in the day, all of my history, you know, me being rebellious. I wrote everything to the T.
Why did you choose to diary? Because I was never really like a
it was a very person. Big therapeutic escape, especially if you are in a toxic household. I mean, for me it wasn't that toxic, but like because of the lack of good relationship between my parents, I just did not enjoy being at home, you know. So that was my therapeutic escape. I loved writing. Maybe that inspired my English degree in undergrad, that inspired my writing and all of my Instagram reels and TikToks now, but that's where it started, my diary. And now I just have a personal diary with my Instagram. But anyway, I had a diary that I was writing in for years. I had no idea that my mother was reading it every single day. I was so paranoid about how my mom knew about every single thing that I was doing. I used to question my best friend so many times. I didn't trust her anymore because I thought that my best friend was tattling on me to her mom, who was telling my mom. And I did not trust anyone. At one point, we had this program in our school. It was called Parent Portal. I thought Parent Portal was a way to eavesdrop and spy on your kids. I thought that there was a program for parents to literally put a camera in the school to spy on their kids, or have teachers on the inside that would tell them what the kids were doing. That's how paranoid I was. I was so paranoid. Yeah, and I'm telling you, like, my relationships were so bad because I had, like, so much paranoia, anxiety. I just thought all my close friends were just telling on me. And I just didn't understand how she knew, right? And then I eventually found out she was reading my diary because, like, the shit that... I think I started doing tests. Like, I started, like, testing my diary by writing things in there that wasn't even true to see if she would bring it up, because I didn't even tell my friends that because it wasn't true. And then I realized, you know, she was reading my diary. So this just shows you, like, how paranoid you get when your parents are invading your privacy to this extent, where it's, like, literally your formative years and you're experiencing life, and they're kind of just, like, using it to shame you, you know, using it to hate you more.
I think what's worse than them knowing about all your business by reading your diary or journal is, like, them not understanding why that's not okay. You know, yeah. It's like you try telling them, be like, you can't do that. And they're like, why not? And just like that, why not, is like, it hurts because you realize, like, they don't get it and you don't know how to get them to get it.
But you know what the thing that hurts the most is that when they do read your personal business, they are reading it with the intent of yelling at you and being mad at you and treating you as if you're the worst kid in the world, without actually trying to understand the fact that you're still young, you're making mistakes, you're allowed to have a personal life, and they're not trying to understand you, you know? They're trying to use it as a way to hurt you, or like that's what it seems like. They're trying to use it as a way to make it seem like you're never going to be better and that you're a horrible kid, you know? And that's what I felt like back in the day. And again, it's like a cycle, because I kept writing in my diary, my mom kept reading it, so I was like, okay, she already sees me as a bad kid, so I'm gonna keep doing the bad things, make it worse and worse. I'm gonna keep being a rebel, and it just makes her hate me more, makes me hate her more, and it's just like a very big cycle, you know? So not to trauma dump on you guys, but like, that's really the reality. And obviously, like, now I just have such a good relationship with my mom. But back in the day, this was really like the end of the world for me. Like, I was not in a good place at all. And it just really hurts when they are reading your personal business like this and they're not trying to understand you in a different light. You know, they're not trying to stop themselves. They're not becoming the ones that are perpetrating this mistake. They're suddenly the victim, even though they're literally reading your personal stuff, you know?
I know that you said that, you know, even though you knew that she was reading it, you just kind of, you just kept writing in it, and mm-hmm. you didn't let that, like, bother you, to not bother you, but, like, yeah. You just kept doing it.
I kept
if
doing
you were,
it.
If you, you know, did you do anything to, like, try to, like, mend that situation? Like, did you try to get your mom
Wait,
to
I want
to
add onto that.
Okay.
I tried writing in Spanish. Not only did I try writing in Spanish.
Of course you did.
I also tried writing in crosshatch, so that she couldn't understand. You don't know what that is. Yeah, because you didn't have to deal with this trauma. Crosshatching is literally writing, like, normally left to right. And then once you finish with that page, you write from top to bottom. So you, like, cross each, like, word, each sentence. Yeah, so it kind of looks like mumbo jumbo. I was literally trying to write in four. I was trying to write in Pig Latin. I was going to learn Pig Latin to write in my diary.
Why didn't you just get a different journal? You know?
I did. I had so many hiding spots. I tried hiding it in my lamp.
How the hell? Yeah. How the hell was she getting this?
I hid it in my lamp. I hid it under my bed. Another thing, I didn't have my own room. I had no lock on my door because of this. Like, my parents didn't trust me because of my diary. Didn't understand. I kept doing worse things. So they didn't let me have a lock on my door. So I didn't have any privacy, you know? So, okay. Anyway, I was trying to learn a whole new language. This is how serious it was. Like, this is a big thing. Like, I had someone comment recently on my Instagram. She was like, oh my God, lack of boundaries and that's your trauma. Like, people have it worse. I'm not saying people don't have it worse. I acknowledge that. But it's also like people are allowed to have their feelings. You are allowed to have your conflicting feelings where you love your family, you want to do everything to support them, but you also want to call out all of the taboo and toxic things that have happened in your life and have happened in the society and the community, you know? You deserve to have both worlds and have both feelings, you know? Some days are good, some days are bad. Like, shit, I should not have dealt with that when I was such a young girl. But again, that made me who I am now, and I'm glad that it happened because I'm much closer with my mom because of it, you know? So, I don't know. It just shows you how, like, I used to literally bring my diary to the bathroom when I would shower because I thought that in between that 10-15 minute time frame when I didn't shower, she would come and quickly read it. I was crazy because of this. Like, it
was horrible. If you can talk to Mahua, like, that was at that age, what would you tell her if she's going, like, the Mahua that's actively going through it? Because, like, I'm sure, like, whatever you did in that situation, now that you're older, you probably would have went about it in a different way. So, like, what do you think would have been the right way to go about that, if any?
I don't think I would really do anything differently because I think everything that I did back then made me who I am now. But I know I had very, very low self-esteem. I didn't think that I would ever be in a better place with my parents. I didn't think that I would ever make them proud. And I think I would just tell her that you will become who you never thought you would be because of all of this that makes you who you are. You know, I think when you are 15, 16 in that age group, you feel like life is never ending and you are forever going to feel like how you were feeling in that moment.
I think it's not even, I mean, first off, like, absolutely. I think I asked that because I ran into somebody yesterday and he kind of asked me the same thing because it's somebody that, like, I've known for ever since, like, the last, like, 4 or 5 years. And he was just kind of saying, like, because we were both like little boys, like little Dumbos a couple years ago. And it's just so important to, like, imagine, like, you know, if you were to stand in front of, like, that little boy or that little girl from back then, like, would they be proud of who they're seeing? Would they be hopeful in life if just by looking at you? And as long as the answer is yes, then you should be proud of yourself and you should keep doing what you're doing, you know? So like, even when it comes to, like, 15, 16, 17 year olds, like, of course, but also, like, you know, there are a lot of, like, 20 year olds or 19 or 21 year olds who, like, listen to the pod and who think they're super grown. And I wish I could even tell them, like, I'm so different than who I was when I was 21. We met when we were 21. Think of who we are today. You know, we are, bro, like, the guys, when I first met Mo, she did not look at me.
That's not true.
The first 30 minutes we hung out, she looked the other way. She was that shy and just that, you know. I get it. I'm him.
Where has this man? I picked him up from the airport. He was like, he was sitting in the passenger seat. He was staring at me like his neck was so turned to look at me.
Yeah, I mean,
this man fell in love with me since day one. Yeah, but anyway,
it's true.
Would I have tried to talk to my mom? Was that your question?
Yeah, I mean, would you have gone about the situation in a different way?
No, again, like, I think when you're in that age group, you think that you're in the right, because obviously you are in the right. You're not the victim. But also, I did do things that weren't favorable to my mom, favorable to my parents, that I could have done differently. But I think you're in that stage of rebellion, right? You feel like you have to continuously prove them wrong. You have to continuously do everything you can in your power to just make them more mad because you just can't get worse than what they already see you as, you know? So
we should have an episode on, like, ethical rebelling, like, how to do it the right way.
Right.
You know, I think, because, like, it's so, like,
bro, like, rebelling is so necessary, but, like, you hear the word rebel, and it's just, like, not, like, a happy word, mm-hmm. or, like, a nice word, and it just is synonymous with, like, evil, but, like, mm-hmm. it's really not, you know? So, we can definitely talk about that more in one episode, because that yeah. coincides with what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, but also, I think when you're constantly butting heads with your parents, you don't agree on anything, your personalities are completely different, you can't even open up to them, you have this fixed mindset where you believe that they also have a fixed mindset. They're never going to change. They're never going to mature. And I definitely thought that when I was younger. Like, okay, I'm never going to open up to them. They're already ruining my life like this, even though they don't mean to. And it's never going to get better, you know? So I just didn't even want to open up to them because I just assumed that that was the end of my life, you know? That was going to be it forever. So, yeah. But, yeah, I have a lot of stories like that where there was just a very big invasion of privacy, lack of boundaries, and, like, again, I'd have my letters opened up, given to me without even, you know, like, I have never gotten, like, a letter without it being opened up.
And they don't see the issue in that, you know? They're just like, oh, like, you got this. That.
You know, I saw a comment as well on my Instagram, and they were talking about how the grandfather wanted to read the niece's diary because he claimed that he wanted to check it for grammatical errors. Can you That's imagine crazy, that? Bro. No, like, they try to disguise this lack of boundary in a guise by saying, like, oh, we're doing this to help you. Like, it's a benefit to us, you know? Like, they're looking out for us by reading our diary. But are they really, you know?
Nope.
They weren't. Like, my Not mom, when she was reading my diary, it didn't help me in any way. She wasn't looking out for me. In fact, it made me feel like I had less control over my life. It made me feel like I had to do more to get her approval. It felt like I had literally, like, no identity, you know? So it's like they're not really looking out for us. It's more like they want to feel like they have control over our lives, whereas it makes us push for more control, you know, in a negative way. So it's crazy.
I think for, like, the people that are in that situation, it's so hard to really give them advice or to just give them tips because it, like, this stuff is so subjective. Like, everybody's lives at home are different. And, like, you know, the both of us have gone through similar things in that, like, we both had to stay at home for a long time because we just felt guilty if we left, you know, mm-hmm. we didn't have the ability to move out for college or anything.
And I also feel like it's like a snowball effect because once they do see you in this light, they see you as a bad daughter or a bad son. They see you as someone who's never changing. You're just going to continuously do worse and worse because you just don't care about their opinion anymore. You just assume that they're never going to have a changing opinion. And I remember, like, after I had my diary read, after I had, like, I didn't have a lock on my door for years until I even moved out, you know? And I also did not have a phone. Like, it got so bad to a point where I had no phone, and I remember, like, I would sneak my mom's phone and download a texting app and download Kick, and then I would text someone back, like, really quickly, sign out. I didn't even have a real number. It was like a texting app, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just so quick. Like, I had to really sneak it, and I had to carry my iPad with me for the whole ninth grade. Mm. I used to be called, like, the iPad girl or something. Guys, like, I literally had no choice, you know? Like, it was a joke, but it's also, like, I had no choice but to carry this iPad around with me. I couldn't even use it to text or anything. All I could do was take pictures of people. But anyways, but it just shows you how, like, sneaky you become because of the lack of boundaries. I got so sneaky. Even though I couldn't hide my diary well, I learned different ways on how to, like, you know, be jalak. Because you just want to have that control back, you know? I spit some fire, I know. I'll let you digest for a sec.
You went through a little ranting session.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
No, difficult dish by Mahua Khan.
Sorry, that was a little...
I'm here, you remember me?
That was a little rant for me.
Guys.
Sorry, I zoned out for a second. I didn't even see Mashun there.
Anyways, hi, my name is Mashnoon.
You got any trauma you want to share?
I mean, I don't want to spend too much time talking about trauma. I mean, I'm sure I've had, like, little things that have come up, but I don't think privacy was ever a really big issue for me. But I think when it comes to the idea of building boundaries in general, my mom never really let me separate myself from her. My life was just synonymous to her life. And everything that I got, she got, you know? Pretty much the main reason why I want to graduate college is, like, she always says, like, oh, it's for me. Like, it's not for you. You know, it's like she kind of says that as a joke, but, like, not really. In that, like, you know, whatever I get, like, it is under her name as well. And that's how much we are, like, attached to each other. And it was really hard to, like, put some bricks in between us because I just couldn't. That's why it took me so long to move out. It took me so much time and energy to get to the place where I could move out. Bro, like, I think about, like, I wanted to move to New York since I was, like, since I turned 18. Obviously, since before then, but, like, I've been thinking about it, like, for real, since I turned 18. And whenever somebody's like, oh, like, why don't you start taking those steps? Like, my whole life, my answer was just my mom. Like, I can't leave my mom, right? I can't leave her. But it's like, I say that, and I'm just like, what does that mean? Like, what do I mean when I'm saying I can't leave my mom? I can't build a boundary with my mom. So it took me a long time to try to figure out, like what is there deeper? What is deeper, like, in this than just, yeah, like, that statement, you know?
But I also think that, you know, like what I mentioned before about the post, what is it called, generational trauma. We also have a lot of guilt that has been passed down from our parents, right? Our, yeah, guilt is related to our parents. And when we do want happiness outside of our parents, that doesn't mean separating ourselves completely from them, but having some sort, yeah, of break or have some sort of boundary, we feel a lot of guilt. And I think that our parents aren't, obviously, they're not intentionally trying to trauma dump on us. Like, a lot of eldest daughters, their mothers feel very close to them because their mothers want to tell their daughters about, like, their toxic husbands, and, like, they just trauma dump. And it's a lot of information that the eldest daughter has to kind of, you know, take in and also help their mother with. And they aren't intentionally doing that because maybe they just don't have friends outside of the family. You know, they feel closest to the daughter or, like, the son. And but it takes a very big toll on you, you know, when there isn't some sort of boundary with that. Like, when you can't take a break from your family or from your mom because they're your family, you know, you have to be there for them. And it just shows, like, how mentally taxing it is on your health.
I think it was last Saturday, there was a Puerto Rican festival going, mm-hmm, on in downtown.
Yeah, Orlando. You love that.
I didn't know what was going on, bro. I stepped outside and I was like, I'm home. Mm-hmm. I'm in heaven, right? And I'm diverging into I'm diverging into a little story time, but it'll relate to this, right, to this bigger message.
I believe you.
There was this one cart, you know, this one tent in this festival, and it was a sweet man, probably, like, I think he's 62, and he was an artist. And he had a lot of his paintings just for sale, a lot of his prints. And I was fascinated by his artwork because his artwork is in a way similar to mine, and just the stuff that he was painting. He was painting actual, like, locations that I've been to when I went to Puerto Rico, you know? So I just felt really attached to his work. And he saw me just, like, staring at his stuff, and he came up to me and he started speaking Spanish to me. And I was like, oh, like, sorry, like, you know, no habla español. And he was like, really? And I was like, un poquito, like, a little bit. And then ever since then, like, he barely spoke English. Like, he spoke as much English as I did Spanish. You know, we were just kind of talking and we were trying to communicate with each other. But it's like, I was answering in English and he was trying to answer in English and I was trying to answer in Spanish, but it didn't work because, like, we were talking in two different languages, and I was trying to conform for him. He was trying to conform for me. But, like, after a while, I just kind of let him speak, and I did my very best to try to understand, like, what he was saying, right? Like, he spoke in Spanish about, like, the history of his life for an hour straight. And I stood there and I listened to every single word that this man said. And unfortunately, I didn't decipher everything, right? But, like, throughout that conversation with him, I felt my Spanish strengthen just from listening to him for that long, you know? And it's like, I think when you kind of put your guards down and you put your fists down and you know, it's hard when both of you guys are speaking different languages, right? But if you try to get to a place where, you know, even if you're not getting each other, right, you got to try, right? If I kept answering in Spanish and he kept answering English, we were not going to get anywhere. He could not tell me his story at all if he kept saying in English. He was not going to be able to say anything. But I did my best, right? I didn't understand what this man was saying, but I got bits and pieces. And I know that if he told me that same story a second time, I'd understand so much more than I did the first time, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there were so many times with my mom where it's just like we're arguing like back and forth. And I'm just like, Mom, like, you don't get it. Like, I feel like this. And my mom's like, no, you don't get it. Like, I feel like this. And like, it's tough when you're like 18, 19, 20, because all you want to do is be heard, right?
Yeah.
Like that's still one of my biggest fears, like when it comes to my artwork is just I want to be heard, right? But sometimes you just got to like try to understand what they're saying in their tongue, right? Even if it doesn't make sense to you, just sit there and just try to listen, try to understand where they're coming from and try to answer them in their language. You know, use words that they're saying, use experiences that they're saying. And, you know, obviously all of this is so much easier said than done. I get it. It took me 5 years, you know, from when I was 18, was at like rock bottom with me and my mom. And now we're stronger than ever. It takes a long time, especially when you're at rock bottom, right? When you're like deep in an abyss and there's no light. You know, you can't, there's no light to see. You're too deep in. I get it, right? But unfortunately, this is the only way out. Like, the only way out to get out of an abyss is to climb out of it. You're not just going to, like, magically snap your fingers. You're going to be at the top, right? Like, you gotta start trying, you know? So, I don't know if you're listening to this and you're going through, like, any of this stuff, and even if this is, like, useful or not, but I felt my relationship with my mother start to get better when I really just tried to hear where she was coming from. Even the things that she was saying that wasn't making sense, I tried to show her that she wasn't making sense with her own words, you know? I don't know if any of that made sense.
No, it does, but I feel like a lot of parents, and it's, even the kids, like, it just turns into like a shouting match, you know? You just want to be in the right. And no one gets one another because you guys are just trying to say your point without understanding the other point. It's just a moment.
But here's the thing. The only way to move past like an argument is one of you guys to shut up. And unfortunately, it's not going to be your parents. So that puts one other person to shut up. You know, so not telling you to shut up, but somebody has to be the bigger man or woman, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was your biggest thing, right? Patience and understanding.
Yeah, man. You know, and like, I wish I can give everybody answers, but it's so tricky. Like, even you and I have such different backgrounds, even though we relate on so much. I haven't been through a lot of stuff that you've been through with your mom, and you haven't been through a lot of stuff that I've been with my mom. And it's hard. And like, I hope everybody can figure out their own puzzle, because this stuff sucks, man. Like,
yeah, that's why it's so hard to give advice on moving out or giving advice on lack of boundaries or anything of that extent, because at the end of the day, we're just sharing our stories and we're sharing our tips in hopes that it helps you in some way. And we don't ever want to give unsolicited advice.
To
you guys and potentially harm you, because you are going through a completely different situation. You know, none of us are the same. None of our parents aren't the same. And we don't want you to go through something in a damaging way. So we just want to share our stories. But I also think that, like, the diary thing, like, a lot of our parents read our grandparents' diaries. So, like, when my grandpa passed away, he wrote a diary of, like, his personal experiences when he was fighting cancer. And their diaries are more kind of like, oh, I had work today. But, like, you know, I ate this today. It's not as detailed. That's what I've experienced. Like, even my mama's diary from when he used to live in the U.S., it was kind of just like, oh, I had work today. Today was Eid. I made this much money. It was like just three lines for each day. Like, they would write every single day. It wasn't like detailed. So I feel like it wasn't as personal. And their reason to write this experience in their diaries is for their future kids, for when they pass away. You know, like, they want their kids to have this evidence of them, you know? So I feel like That's why our parents think that they have just this easy access to our lives, because they are used to having that with their parents. You know, they just think that they can read whatever, and it's like a symbol of our life that they can just have access to. But I don't know. It makes me wonder, like, how traumatic it is, especially if you're living with your parents all the way until you're married or until you leave the house, and you just don't have comfort or privacy in your own space. And it just makes you feel like you have to live your life in fear. You can't trust people. And it's just very damaging. So
I think at the end of the day, you know, execution is very difficult. Execution is really hard. But the idea that all our parents want is just connection. They want to feel connected to their kids. The way that they're going about it, by reading our journals, by yelling at us about stuff that we do, it's not the right execution. But the integrity and the intention is there. Okay, yeah. So I feel like a lot of kids get really upset with their parents. They're always mad at their parents.
Right.
The intention is, I'm not speaking for everybody, right? But in my experience, the intention with my mother was always there, and I always let that be a driving force for me to mend my relationship with my mother.
Yeah.
You know?
I also realized that, yeah, I had to understand that the intention was there, even if it wasn't executed the right way. And I can obviously say, like, yes, the distance has played such a big part in my relationship and the growth of my mother and our relationship, you know? But I don't want to just preach that moving out is the only solution to having a better relationship and having more boundaries with your parents. Obviously, it is a very, very big factor. But I think something else that was very beneficial is pushing my parents to experience friends and experience life outside of just their families. I think our parents have gone very accustomed to just serving their families, working a job, cooking for the family only, upholding this, you know, this reputation for just their family and not really having a life. And that's fine because, you know, they did move to a new country and a lot of them don't really have friends that they can trust in comparison to what they had at home. But I think pushing my parents to have friends just had something for us to talk about. You know, they had their experiences and then I was able to share mine and it didn't feel as judgy. And obviously this doesn't relate to everyone. Like, for example, if your parents are very religious, and they are spewing a lot of religion and they're just not as modern, it might not work to the same extent. But for me, it worked in my favor because we just were able to have more of a common ground. You know, they were able to have their own experiences and not really focus that much on me and my brother's mistakes or me and my brother's life because they had their own life, you know?
Yeah, I think what you said, common ground is really important. And even what you said about religion, religion is a common ground for me and my mom. My mom has gotten pretty religious and I'm trying to meet her there, you know, like,
right.
I've been praying a lot more, like fasting for Ramadan and just talking to her more. And, you know, even if it's something that maybe I'm not super duper crazy about at the moment, like understanding that, like, okay, this could be a really good opportunity for me and my mom. Right. And I'm not going to let my pride or ego get in the way of like, oh, like, I don't want to be as religious, like, whatever the case is. Like, common ground is super important, and finding a certain level to meet them at is really important if you want to try to balance some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, goodness. Damn. Gracious, we rambled
hard.
On
we went hard.
You like Pop Tarts or toaster strudels, and why?
You know what, you're gonna hate me for this.
What
I've never had a Pop Tart. I said it.
No, you know, you've told me that.
Yeah, so why'd you...
I do hate you for that. Yeah. I forgot. Have you had a toaster strudel?
I can't remember if I did. I don't think I did, honestly.
What the... Are you okay?
You like croissants or... No, you like cupcakes or donuts more?
Oh, man, that's a hard one.
Right?
Donuts. Donuts, yeah. For sure. You know, I grew up on Dunkin' Donuts. I recently found out that it's not named Dunkin' Donuts anymore. Apparently, this has been a thing for like 5 years. It's just called Dunkin'.
Really?
Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Wait, that's a thing?
They changed it in like 2018.
Wait, what did donuts do?
I've been calling it Dunkin' Donuts my whole life.
I think the whole world does.
No, it's Dunkin'.
Wow.
No more, no more donuts. They're embarrassed. They got called fat.
They don't have just fat donuts. Boys. They got everything. They got the Charlie D'Amelio drink. They got toaster strudels.
What did you call me? They don't have toaster strudels. Don't play with me like that. The best part about the toaster strudel is like the icing that comes with it. I used to always, you know, they used to give enough icing for like 4 to 5 toaster strudels. I would put all the icing on one toaster strudel.
You're the icing on top of toaster strudels. That's what you look like. Anyway, so I hope you guys like this episode. We are going to move forward with the questions and the advice session, if you would allow me to.
In the meantime, while she's pulling those out, if you guys didn't know, we have a podcast. Our podcast is named Difficultish, and we also have an Instagram for the podcast, Instagram.com/Difficultish.
Again with this.
You can follow us on Instagram, where we're getting really famous at the moment. It's not like no credit to me. I'm not doing anything. It's all Mahua. She's becoming a megastar. She has a big announcements going up that I'm not gonna spoil. You know, even though I can, but I'm not gonna spoil them. But follow us on Instagram. We ask you guys for your input on all of our topics before we, you know, talk about them. And yeah, so what do you got?
Can I have a second?
Okay,
I'll keep talking. Yapping on and on.
I'll keep talking.
No, we're good. We're good.
Let me think.
No.
My plans have been healthy.
Please just stop talking.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So someone said that their advice for creating boundaries with their parents is using I statements, being patient, and reinstating your point. Using examples, they think that if you want to have any privacy, then I'm hiding something.
I think that's really good. I think that ties into like the whole separation thing of like, you know, you are really attached to your parents, and just like personifying your life and you a little bit more, talking about the stuff that you're into. You know, if your mom's always just like, oh, you're gonna be a doctor, you know, and like, it's okay to bring up like sometimes like, hey mom, like, you know, I really like to do this in my free time. And even if the first reaction is odd, you know, keep that up. Like, show your parents that like you have your own interests, your own this, your own that.
Yeah. You know what? That actually reminds me how a lot of parents see their kids as just their kids. Like, they'll see them as just the daughter. They'll see them as just the son. They don't see them as actual parents. And in return, you also see them as just parents. You don't see them as actual human beings, right? And I think that just creates this dynamic where they don't see you ever coming out of this shell of being just your daughter or your son. And I think it's really up to you to show them that, yes, you have a personality outside of what they expect you to be. And yes, you have aspirations and you have a life outside of what they expect you to be. But also, I think when your parents ask you to be more adult-like, or they want you to be more mature, you know, they're always complaining about you not doing things around the house. I think that's what you need to do in a little by little way, because they just want to see you as someone that can, you know, fend for yourself in the real life and just be an adult. And I think they start taking you more seriously when they realize that, like, okay, if she can do or he can do the household chores, or if they can just run this errand without me asking them to do it, it just makes them realize that, okay, maybe they are growing up. Maybe they are more than just the person that I, you know, push out of my belly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's just really important to also, on top of giving the I statements, to just show them that you are a person outside of just their child, and you are capable of being mature and an adult. Oh, something else that I wanted to talk about. So someone said, they constantly body shame, and if I try to set boundaries, then I'm being overly sensitive and too lazy to work out or lose weight. Yeah, I think parents are very notorious for gaslighting you, and when you do react to something that they've said constantly, you're the problem, and you're overly sensitive, And you wouldn't even have this problem if you had just lost weight. And it just makes you feel like you're the problem. You know, you can never be the victim. You can never have your own feelings. And it's really frustrating because you can't set your own boundaries and your self-esteem is so low because of this pain that your parents are inflicting on you. So yeah, I think just going through that is just really frustrating. And honestly, I don't have many tips for that because I just know how low of a place you get to when you are hearing these constant comments about your appearance or just things out of your control. And it's very frustrating, but I wish you the best and I hope things change soon. Someone said, boundaries in a brown household comes with a slight crack in the relationship and the comment you've changed.
You know, I tell people this all the time where it's like, it's so hard to have like foresight and intuition when you're going through like tough times with your parents. But really it's like setting up that boundary and building up those walls between your parents is the only way that I know that is going to help mend the situation. And it's tough in the beginning. Like I could speak about the first couple months of me moving out. You could speak about the first couple months of you moving out. You know, we've both had times with our parents where we just don't talk to them for days or for weeks, you know, and it's like it hurts while you're going through that. And it's so hard to look at what's past that because you're too busy at the pain, like focusing on the pain of the present, right? But man, like it's okay for things to hurt for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and I think you also get the comment you've changed when you actually start putting yourself first and you start actually putting your mental health first. And when they realize that you aren't going to, you know, just sit around while they treat you like this and you're not going to just sacrifice your mental health just because they did that, you know, you have the choice to put yourself first now that we are in a generation where we can think for ourselves, you know. You don't have to choose one and not the other. You can have both. I think that's when you get the comment you've changed. And it is kind of like a manipulative tactic to try to get you to feel guilty and try to get you to come back to how you were and be with them. But it's a good thing that you've changed. It's a good thing that you are taking the step to put yourself first. It's a good thing that you are making the change so that your family is closer and better and hopefully they grow, you know. So yeah, they say that you've changed, but that's not a bad thing. And that's their way of showing that they're hurt and they have to get used to the changes. But at the end of the day, it usually is for the better that you've changed.
Precisely.
Y'all heard that 11th Avenue Mahua Khan coming with the fire this episode.
You really fished me out the lagoon with that one, huh?
What the hell did you just say?
You really smoked me out the rocket this episode, huh?
Oh, God.
I gotta get my get back the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying?
We're gonna race it out. All right, you got any 30
seconds? No, I don't. I don't have advice, but, you know, something that I just realized while you were talking is this is the last episode before Eid.
Yeah. We're also
so my advice is I advise you to have a beautiful Eid. Please have a beautiful Eid. Please spend some extra time with your family this Eid. Give your mom a hug that's a second longer than it was last year. Give your little nieces and some nephews and other toddlers some dollars or some quarters. And just, you know, really try to be present for this Eid. I think this is a special Eid. It's the first Eid that we've had kind of like together. You know, the mosque mm-hmm. are going to be filled again. It's special, you know. Make Eid, you know, a memorable day, you know. Take some pictures and just
spam our feed. Mine is related to Eid too. Eid is also close to Mother's Day. And April is actually the month full of all of my best friends' birthdays, April and May. So I've been buying gifts left and right for Mother's Day, for Eid, for birthdays. And honestly, I used to never give Eid gifts before because we never grew up doing that. You know, Eid is not a holiday that we would give gifts for. We would just you know, we were taught to give gifts for Christmas and that's it. But I think just giving gifts for Eid is just so much more enjoyable and it just makes things so much better. So I've been buying gifts for my loved ones and it's been great. All right.
Where's my gift?
Yeah, you're not getting anything.
Wow.
Love for you.
Not a loved one. I'm an unloved one.
All right. Anyways, I hope y'all like this episode. I'm hungry. Please follow us on our Instagram. It's at DifficultDish. We are hitting 2,000 followers, which is crazy. We have viewers now, which is crazy. Please follow us on our individual Instagrams, Labyrinth Dev and Mishnu Munir. And also, if you have listened to us this far and you've related in any way, we would really appreciate an Apple review, a rating on Spotify, on Apple, anywhere you would like, and just share with your friends. We love you guys, and happy premature Eid Mubarak if you are celebrating.
Eid Mubarak, guys. To everybody.
Allah Hafiz. We love you.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.